Minister, welcome. We are back where we were last week. Same positions, same issues. Comrades, just to so that we also enjoy the nicer things in life as well. So we're not just a bunch who look at. I noticed the regalia of the Deputy Minister when we were in the house. I think it was during the time when we were singing. Comrades, upon inquiry, understand yesterday it was her birthday. So, as you can see, she's having something relevant to her birthday still. She had something done for her in the office. So we also want to say belated happy birthday. Yeah. I wish it could only end there and we'll go home. Unfortunately, yes. Careful. All right. Welcome back to the Minister, Deputy Minister, the Acting DG, and the officials, as well as officials from National Treasury, as well as the Auditor General. We welcome you, as always. We're happy to have you here so that you could contribute to our process. Last week, we looked at the issue around projects, those that were budgeted for, and those that had overruns, as well as the overdraft. Today we want to look at two other themes, deviations and expansions as one, irregular, fruitless and wasteful expenditure. I must say, Comrade Minister, that the two sessions that we've had so far with the SIU as well as with the department last week, I think has helped us to have a much, much better sense of the depth of the challenge or the challenges before us. Not only in terms of the things that have happened, but also in terms of the state of the department and the team that must turn things around. And I just hope that the officials will do better to leave us with a better and more positive impression of their state of readiness to assist Parliament to understand things and processes, but also to demonstrate that they are in the positions they are in, deservedly so, in terms of their ability to play their role in the respective areas that they have been placed in, and be able to account very, very appropriately. I think for me, they should take that as the challenge that they must rise up to. Our engagement last week must have given them a sense of the drift of our line of engagement. So we we would want a much, much better response so as to assist us to see and understand things their way. Otherwise, we just live the way we were before we came in. So I just thought one needs to address those things. And I'm also mindful, comrades, of the fact that actually that day we did not deal with everything at all. Even the war on leaks that we dealt with, when I look at subsequent documentation that we have, I'm very much tempted that we must go back to it, because some of the things that were being told here do not seem to make sense when we reflect back on them, you know. And we don't want to have an impression that officials deliberately do not want to talk to us, you know. I was watching those two Russians being interviewed on Russia Today, those were accused of poisoning there in England. I could see they are well-trained people. They appear so foolish. If you have no trained eye, you will actually believe that these guys were just innocent tourists. So we also don't want to get that impression that people don't remember things, don't know, they are not sure. And yet, actually, that's a deliberate strategy to appear not knowing so that we don't achieve anything. So I think let's deal with that. I don't want to bring toilet talk about officials saying they're not going to answer us, because that's toilet talk. But so help us. Let's deal with this issue so that we all are on the same page. I'm going to hand over to my comrade here, Bratterson, proud member of this committee from KZN, to take us through. Yes, just a minute, Mente.
Thank you, Chair. Oh, Chair, based on your opening remarks and the issue of war on leaks, we requested information on war on leaks for further information, so that if we have to close the subject, we close it on a satisfactory note that we are satisfied with the answers. Because for now, we are not satisfied with the answers, and we needed detailed item expenditures of everything they did on war on leaks. Did we get that? If we see it, can we get it?
No, thanks, Chair. I just wanted to check if AB Singh is here today, as per last week's request, insofar as the directive is concerned. Oh, sorry, Chair. I'm checking if AB Singh is here, the inquiries person, insofar as the directive is concerned, as appears in Annexure 1 to 2.
Chairperson, I think also last week when we finished the meeting, you had requested the CEO of Libelle to be part of the meeting. I just wanted to check if he or she is here.
All right. On the last, okay, Ross.
Chair, for me, it's just the question with regard to the spike in the overdraft. I think there was a letter or there was an email sent to us. I did not study that, but if somebody can just highlight that to us, we've asked for an explanation, the sudden increase of the overdraft and the sudden reduction of the overdraft.
All right. I think on the CEO of Libelle Northern Water, I had said he will be much, much more relevant when we deal with implementing agents tomorrow. So I'm hoping that he will he will be here. On seeing, we have a sick note. We have an email from Mr. Singh. He has also see the sick note until now, but the sick note is from the 2nd of August to the 3rd of August. There is a second one from the 12th of November to the 16th, and then the last one is from the 16th of November to the 21st of November.
because I read it from the emails, and that email was sent to the chair as well.
And on that email, he is indicating that he will be available even on teleconferencing. That is what I read on the
No, I'm asking you as the acting DG, where is Singh? Your own understanding of his whereabouts. Because because he says he's on light duty at the department's head office in Pretoria, attending to my normal duties. Okay, so he reports to work.
Yes, Chair, he does report to work.
I'm listening. Yes, he does report to work, yeah, and I mean, situate us
okay.
To confirm what is written, that yes, indeed, I know he's not well, this, that, so that we have a proper sense, because I was reading this and then looking at the sick notes, and the sick note, the last one here, is the 21st of November. That's what I'm trying to find out.
Chair, the reason I took a pause, it is because I was thinking whether I should narrate what's happening around Mr. Singh, whether that will be okay or not. But what I know...
I don't want you to talk about his sickness or his illness, but I was just saying we have this thing from him as his head. Can you balance us? Can you confirm that indeed the man is sickly and can't fly? That's what I want from you.
Chair, I cannot confirm that he is sick and that he cannot fly. I am reading from what his doctor is saying. And the what I wanted to indicate is that Mr. Singh has been reporting sick for some time now. And he would provide a medical certificate. But on the days on which he doesn't get the certificate, the days on which I don't get this report that he's off sick, he does come to work. Number two, that I need to also indicate is that Mr. Singh is also undergoing a disciplinary process. So from time to time he's at the case and he's consulting and the lawyers and what have you. So I am not sure whether that is compounding his ill health or what. But what I'm reading here that is sent to me is that this being unable to fly and being on light duty is for a month, for 1 month, that's what they are saying, possibly, for a possible 1 month, that's what the doctor has written here, and it's dated the 19th of 11th, 2018, so it means that he is still within that period, and that's why I indicated early that my understanding was that
what is his illness? I will now ask, because if you have this man who is always sick, and he's undergoing a disciplinary process at the same time, but he's always sick, then surely we should have an interest in understanding. Is he really sick, or is he dodging the DC, or what?
Chair, I really would not like to violate.
And fine, don't tell us what his illness is, but I want to get a sense that you are concerned about a man who is endlessly sick as the acting DG.
Chairperson, I am concerned. I am concerned to an extent that I have asked the labor relations person to go to HR and check as to whether he's still within the credible, the leave cycle, the sick leave cycle of government. I have requested the labor relations person to check that at HR. What I've also requested is an update on how far the disciplinary case is and when that disciplinary case is going to end. I am concerned.
All right.
I just want to place on record that coming to Cape Town is not reliant on flying only, just by the way, because I think this perception that the only way to get here is that one has to fly. Because, Chair, I hope that the DG will understand the seriousness of actually why I had insisted on Mr. Singh being here. he is at the heart of the problem. Because the next temptation that befalls on me, Chair, is to find out what is this disciplinary action about. Because now I'm trying to understand the nature and character of this person. Because at the heart of Warren Leaks, the person who generated the directive to the minister in question is Mr. Singh. So now I'm tempted to ask, why is what charges have been leveled and against him? Is it charges by the department or is it something else? Because I'm now really interested to understand who is this Mr. Singh.
The charges relate to, number one, the backdating of a water use license. The second one relates to the information that he provided to the portfolio committee, which the department found or suspect not to be accurate on the main. That is what the charges are about.
That's the more reason why we need this Mr. Singh here. Because this directive, the one key to us getting to the bottom of this. So I put it again to you, DJ, that you can arrive in Cape Town by bus, you can drive. Some people run here. If you can't fly, there's other means to get to Cape Town. That's all I'm saying. This luxury route we want to fly business class and all that yada yada is precisely the reason why accountability is compromised. Because we want to see Cape Town as a far distant place, disjointed from South Africa. I certainly, Chairperson, do not accept that if he says, well, I can't fly, then we must now subject ourselves to a teleconference. No. In fact, what I'm saying is that without precedent in this parliament, so if anybody thinks I'm being ridiculous or being snugs, we've had similar cases before of people say, well, I can't fly, and they've made alternative means to get here. So I think for the purposes of accountability, you need to get Mr. Singh here, hello, high waters, in one way or the other, if he can't fly. Because I want him seated across from us here, and he must explain this directive. Because even now, in light of the charges that you speak about, he's a person of interest to this committee now, as far as I'm concerned.
All right. Okay, no, that's fine. I think I'd like you to take me into your confidence and tell me when we're done here or tomorrow what exactly is his illness. I'm very much interested. To the extent that it impacts on our work. He's not here. He should be here to talk to us. Anyways, state employee is being paid. There should be justification why he's paid. If he's too sick to work, then I think there are processes in terms of the law to ensure that people who are not well can take time and rest at home and allow those who are healthy to continue with work. But I think it sounds very much like a ruse, this whole thing. So tell him we don't believe him. Anyway, I asked the question around documents. I see, comrades, there is this document which says executive summary, projects overrun. I want us to go to Bratasel. If there are issues that we want to pick up from last week, I think once we're done with Bratasel and Comrade Boy, we can take on them. Already you can see from the first one that actually in the State of the Nation address, which they write it was in January when it was in February, the President made an announcement there that there will be a project called War on Leaks. And the President does not develop departmental programs. They come from the departments and they feed into his speech and he reads them. So, but anyway, let's go to Bratasel. Yeah.
Thanks, Chair. I waited 4.5 hours last time, so we're doing well tonight. Chair, just to add to the issue on Ward Reeks, the committee will be reminded that I asked at the end of the hearing last time that the problem was about 7 to 9 billion strong in terms of the amount of money we're losing on water leaks. We spent about 2.8 billion, but our colleague over there told us that the department couldn't tell us whether that it improved or not, and that the municipality said it's getting worse. So I really think that the department's got to come back to us and give us a really good explanation as to why 2.8 million rand has been spent. Billion rand has been spent, and we have no idea whether or not the problem's getting better. So that needs to happen. And then I also think to need, I remind the department that we also asked for a full explanation of expenditure, to echo what Honourable Langway said, on the entire war and leaks situation. Because we don't want to be left with the suspicion that war of leaks was actually creating an army of 15,000 young people to do the bidding of the minister. That is a very strong suspicion. So let's try and clear that out of the way. But anyway, Chair, on to tonight. Chair, first of all, good evening to the Minister and happy birthday to the Deputy Minister. Congratulations. And we'd like to just go straight into, and Chair, I'm really going to be focusing on the Acting DG this evening. So I know that last week you liked to give your colleagues a lot of opportunity, but I really am talking to you this evening. So let's go to Vuwani, 2012. And I'll remind everybody what Vuwani was about, because it's very important in this aspect. And we're actually lucky because we've got two of the big role players here this evening, so we can get some really good answers. So Vuwani was a contract awarded in 2012 with a value of 50 million rand, I'm sure you'll remember. With a company called Eskol Construction involving a third party called Sikusana. Anyway, Eskol Construction didn't perform on time, and instead of paying penalties, they were actually given money up front, and that was all found to be irregular. This, for any of you who want to check, is on page 27 of the SIU report. They also were allowed by the DDG at the time, who is here, Zandile Mate, I believe it was Makatini, so welcome, were allowed to have a 16 billion rand advance, even though they could not keep up to their up to their duties. Anyway, this whole thing went south. The payments were all declared to be irregular and expenditure as well as fruitless and wasteful. And the official who is here with us this evening, Zandile Makatini, I believe at that time, Namate, was dismissed and then was reinstated. So Acting DG, I would like to ask you, how did you mess that one up? Because my information is that you were directly responsible for messing up that disciplinary process, which allowed that official to be not only sued by the SIU in a matter worth 140 million rand, but to be dismissed from the employer of the department and is now back because of your bungling. Would you like to explain to us exactly what you did? And this was in your time. So you can't tell us this was, you weren't the acting DG. This was in your time. Why did you not get rid of that official sitting behind you? What happened? All yours, and please make the responses to the point.
Honourable member, I got that report from SIU. I'm saying...
Chair, can I please ask the DDG to speak closer to the microphone? We can hardly hear it. Thank you.
I'll try, Chairperson, but it does hurt my back to sit front like that without support of my back. I got the report from the SIU. I went through that report, and based on the recommendations of that report, partly, we took action, disciplinary action. The official was charged, and we placed her on suspension due to the serious nature of the charges. That was not the only case. Then the case started, and when the case started, I did not attend. I didn't have to attend. I could not attend. And the lawyers that represented us reported to me that she did not want to subject herself to the disciplinary process. She blamed the, she said she doesn't have trust. I'm talking about a report that I got from our legal representatives. That she doesn't have trust in the chairperson, the presiding officer appointed by the department. She doesn't believe that she will get a fair hearing from that type of process. Subsequent to that, she was requested to make written representation. And after that written representation, they went through that, and they said that it was not really addressing the charges that were placed before her. And it was from that process that I was then advised by them to say that under these circumstances, they would recommend termination of employment. That recommendation I did find prudent. The mistake I did, and I own up to that mistake, is that I asked our labor relations and the legal services whether the delegations are with me, and the answer was yes. The mistake I did was not checking the delegations myself. I had no reason to doubt what they said. So then I acted upon that. We signed termination. I signed the termination letter. It is that termination letter that was challenged by her lawyers, and eventually she was then brought back. When we realized that the delegations were actually with the minister then decided to bring her back and to take the process over. Chairperson, I am saying this, but I also have some reservations of going into further details, because the matter is still a legal matter, and I have been informed that I will be charged. In other words, she will take legal action against me in my person. So in that manner, Chair, I would not like to go into further details on this matter, safe to say that that is the process that happened. And then
all right, okay, thanks. All right, so you engaged in a disciplinary process against Mrs. Marty, and she was not happy with the players then. Did you approach the CCMA? Did you consider arbitration? Did you consider going through completely independent people to do that? If people in a mediation, I'm an accredited mediator, if people are not happy with the parties involved, then you swap them out. Why was that not done?
Honourable Member, as I've indicated, we went through a process with the legal representatives of the department, and that was the advice that I was given. And another thing that I need to indicate is that we have cases in the department that have been going for too long in bargaining council through that process they call Section 188A. Now, in a situation in a department where you have three top management members, DDGs, undergoing disciplinary action, top management is destabilized. the department gets destabilized. And if all these processes are to drag on and on and on and on, it means then...
Okay, sorry, I have to interrupt you there. That's no excuse. I'm trying to stay narrowly on the issue. You have a disciplinary process. You just told us that the person in question didn't like the disciplinary process. Okay? In any normal disciplinary environment, if somebody has a problem with the chair, they make an application for a recusal, the chair will consider it, or in a court, a judge will consider it, and either say yes or no, and then the matter continues, or they swap out. There's no abandoning. But it seems to me that the official had an objection. You then abandoned the process and then summarily dismissed the official without checking the law. You've just told us that. You just told us when you had delegated authority. You didn't check. So we've got somebody involved in a 95 million, because the 140 was adjusted to 95 million. In a 95 million rand matter, that is allowed to walk back in. Have disciplinary charges been laid against you? Or anybody else involved in the matter? Has action been taken against the person who gave you the wrong advice? That's a simple answer. Because how can, you know, we've been watched by the nation here. How can we say somebody involved in a 95 million rand scam can walk out and walk straight back in? Because you messed it up. And people advising you messed it up. How can you just walk away from that? Are you being charged?
It is my understanding that in the normal course of duty, we make mistakes. And if a mistake is genuine, and I have no reason to suspect any malice from the person that has committed an error, my conscience will not allow me to charge that person. Secondly, this case is not lost. The disciplinary process
but
still
the,
continues.
No. But there was an objective question. Where does delegation lie? And someone said, you know, it lies with you. It's an objective thing. It's either it is with you or it's not with you. If it's with you, somebody can produce a paper and say, here it is. Now, that did not happen. So his question is, fine, you, what has happened to you? And secondly, what have you done against those people who have given you wrong advice? Or if it is the lawyers we're using, were they paid in full? What? I think it is that. It is not about malice. I think it's more about competence. So the long and the short of your answer is no. No action is taken against those officials, and she has not been charged.
Okay, well, I'm glad that the minister and the deputy minister are here, because that's something you might want to consider. I mean, is that what we are saying to the South African public? That somebody can be involved in a 95 million rand scam. Action is being taken against these people in the courts, but they're still in the department. Is that what we're saying? Is that acceptable in our environment where we're trying to create a clean governance environment? Chair, I'll move on. Maybe we can come back to it. Chair, the other thing I wanted to just address was we received annexures, annexure 4.1.1 and annexure 4.1.2, which were the irregular expenditure and of the main account and the water entity account. I would just like to ask the acting DG, in both the irregular expenditure for the main account and for the water trading account, why is Ikusasa Media not on that list? Because it is a list from you. Ikusasa Media. Do you know about Ikusasa Media? Do you know anything about it? Why is it not on the list?
Chair, Honourable Member, if it is not on the list, it would be a mistake.
It's not on the list, I can tell you that. You should know it's not on the list.
Okay.
Can you tell us about Ukusasa Media? Do you know anything about it?
Honourable Member, I've just been reminded that it occurred in 2018-19, but I'm not so sure about this date. However, what I know about Ukusasa is that it was being investigated. The report is almost finalized on this Ukusasa matter.
You know, we hear that a lot. You are protected by the Powers and Privileges Act when you sit here, as we all are. So for you to tell us, well, the investigation's almost complete is unfortunately not good enough for our purposes. All right? Anything you tell us here can be. So let me help. It was a service provider submitted a proposal in January this year for about 15 million rand. And to cut a long story short, by the end of January and by the end in February, they'd been paid 29 million rand share.
Just a minute. Can I request that we switch off our cellular phones? I thought we know it's the normal thing, so that it does not disturb us.
All right. So the proposal was 15 million rand by Ukusasa Media in January. Then it was expanded to 29 million by the end of January. And the final invoice that was delivered and paid was for 34 million. Do you want to tell us what happened?
When was the final invoice paid?
I don't have the specifications here, but I think it was around about February, March, if I'm not mistaken.
All right.
So can you explain how it went from 15 million to 34 and how the necessary treasury regulations are not followed with that? And the fact that it was completely irregular in that it was not didn't go through a competitive bidding process.
Okay. Honourable Member, the implicated officials, and I'm saying implicated because we haven't charged them as yet. The implicated officials is one has resigned. Secondly, the other one is still on maternity leave. The investigation concluded that there was, it is indeed an irregular, that there was wrongdoing on the part of the officials.
Right, so why does it take so long to get to these matters? We're in December now. This happened in the early part of the year. I've been involved in many disciplinaries. It doesn't take me a year to investigate what happened. It takes a month, maybe. And this is, you know, the SIU complained to us last week or the week before that some of the matters have sitting around for 4 years. Why does it take so long to investigate these matters? You know, a lot of us here earn pensions. But I can tell you now, they're not going to be worth 20 million when we're finished. I don't think so. But it seems with your department, you can just pick yourself up a 20 million rand pension and off you go. Why does it take so long to investigate? Tell us what's going on here.
Honourable Member, the number of cases to be investigated in the department is high. Secondly, we don't have sufficient personnel to assist us with investigations. I have approached National Treasury to assist us with people to investigate forensic audits. That has not yet materialized. What we have, and then secondly, because of the financial state of the department, we could not speedily appoint forensic auditors. We have recently extended the period of the term contract so that we can get forensic auditors in the department. We are doing our best to speedily deal with these matters. The other issue that contributes towards taking long from those that are assisting with those that are investigating, and this is a disclosure, I'm disclosing one of the problems we have in the department, that document control and document management is not up to scratch. So when these documents are required, the people that are investigating, those that are in internal audit and in the risk, it takes time for them to get the documents, for them to be able to conclude on the cases speedily.
You told us, aren't you head of information management? You were before you became the acting DG?
It is not that information. I was dealing with water information. It's not the document control and the whatever.
Okay, you know, once again, we're just left in a situation where things just drift. There's a lack of capacity. But, yeah, I'm mindful that I just want to move on. We can come back to things. All right. That's a very unfortunate case. The other thing I wanted to touch on this evening is anybody here from the Bid Adjudication Committee? Did you bring them along? Anybody from Bid Adjudication?
Yes, Honourable Member, the CFO is the chair, and then we have the deputy chair here.
Mr. McKees. You chair of the BAC. Just the person I wanted to see. Okay. Back to you, Acting DG. I'm very concerned. The report that you've given us, once again, you've pointed it out, but you haven't put it as a category, and it's a very worrying category, is that a number of awards were made when the BAC was not quorate. There was no quorum. Do you know how many members there are of the BAC? What is the total membership of the BAC? Are you aware of that?
At that time, there were 9 members, and their understanding was that 5 of them would form a quorum. But it has since been explained that.
Where did that understanding come from?
Honorable Chair, I wouldn't be able to explain that because it is...
No. Look, if the response is they had an understanding, surely there's a basis of the so-called understanding. If they're running an institution or a structure and they don't know and understand how it functions, then it's problematic.
Let me then rather hand over to the acting CFO to respond as to where the understanding came from, because he's chair.
No, Chair, you see, this is what happened last time. I want an answer from you. What is your understanding? What is your understanding of the Treasury regulations or the Code of Conduct for Bid Adjudication Committees? Do you know anything about that? You're the acting DG. I'm not letting you slip off the hook tonight. I know I can ask him. He'll probably, it doesn't appear that he knows from the records I have. But I'm asking you, what is the rule? I'm assuming you want to stay on as the DG, and I'm glad the minister's here because they're watching. Do you know what the Treasury Code of Conduct says about a quorum at a bid adjudication committee meeting? Do you know what it says?
Honourable Member, it was explained to me as to what that it's supposed to be 60% and not the 50% as was said.
Okay. All right, so what is 60%? No, I don't want long stories. What is 60% of 9?
Of 9 would be 6 people,
Chair. Take technically it's 5.4 people.
Yeah,
but you know, well, obviously there's no, we don't have quite four tenths of a person. So it's six people, okay? So why on earth do we have a bid adjudication committee, and now I'm talking to you, sir, Mr. McHughes. Why do you have a situation where on certain days when you met, and I've got a whole list of days that you met, when your committee met, and on certain days, I'll give you an idea, Chair. Going back to 2016, on the 23rd of June 2016, there were four people there. On the 21st of July 2016, there were five people there. 1st of September 2016, there were five people there. 29th September, same year, five people there. Nothing was quorate in 2016. Nothing. All right. And then on the 16th of February 2017, there were five of you and nine bids were approved. Nine bids. How on earth can that happen? That you don't follow the fundamental rules of the Code of Conduct from Treasury. And that is, by the way, from, I think, the 24th of March 2003. How do I know that? I don't even work with these processes. And how do you not know that? Can we get an answer to that, please?
Chairperson, I'm Franz Mwatsi, acting CFO, not Mr. McKeese, just for record purposes.
So why did you raise your hand when I asked for Mr. McKeese? Why did you do that? I don't know if your attempt is to try and embarrass the committee, but why did you do that? When I said, are you Mr. McKeese, you said yes, put your hand up.
Chairperson, I
never... I don't want to talk to you if you're the CFO. I'm talking to the... If you're the chair of the bid adjudication committee, we can have a conversation. All right? I'm still back to the acting DU. Okay, let's go. What is being done? Who was the DG then? Who allowed that to happen? In February 2017. Who allowed all these bids, and I've got the whole list of them here, to go through with that with the bid adjudication committee that was not quorate.
Honourable Member, there was a DG then. If you're talking February 2017, then the DG would have been Mr. Mashitish. But Chair, as DG, you may not be aware of how many people are sitting. Okay.
Great.
So that was the DG then. Right, so what are you doing now to recover all this money? All of these awards are null and void. Are you aware of what I'm talking about? Do you know the list?
The list is on the list of irregular expenditures.
I'm trying to make it easier for you because I've got them all together. I can go through your own list and pick them out. I thought you would have a list together and I have that list. What are you doing to Wayo Consulting for 1.4 million, Mott McDonald for 947,000, Elisa Consulting for 402,000, EnviroCom for 974,000, UWP Consulting for 1.1 million, R-Square Information Systems for 1.2 million, Mott McDonald again for 829,000, Worley Parsons for 975, and again Worley Parsons for 1.9 million. What are you doing to try and get that money back from them? Because all of those awards are null and void.
Honourable Member, the investigations on the irregular expenditures of 17-18 have just recently been concluded, and the report is still to reach me. So it is after I have obtained those reports that I will be able to determine the course of action.
Okay. Do you know about the awards given out on the 16th of March 2017? Once again, when there was no quorum.
I'm not sure whether those ones have been concluded already.
Let me remind you, Golder Associates for $1.5 million, null and void. Oricon South Africa for $12.3 million, null and void. Biggin Africa, $416,000, null and void. What are you doing to recover that money? Are you doing anything? Or are you just waiting for reports? And this happened in March last year. It didn't happen last month. They don't understand.
As indicated, Honourable Member, when you receive an investigation report, it comes with recommendations, and you apply your mind to the recommendations that are placed before you.
Yeah, I think.
Now, where?
I think the dates that he's mentioning are 2016, 2017 financial year. So, would ordinarily expect that they are not necessarily part of what you are talking to. They should have been investigated during the course of the past financial year. Unless if they were not investigated, then I would understand.
Chief, I may qualify. The acting DG came here last week and was very quick to point out that she wasn't responsible for anything because this didn't happen in her time. And I'm sensitive to that. I'm not being unreasonable. But she's currently the acting DG. And things are happening on her watch now. So I'm asking her about things that happened in the past. And what is she doing on behalf of the South African taxpayer? And we all pay tax, whether it's with income tax, where we pay VAT or whatever, we all pay tax in this country. What are you doing on behalf of those taxpayers to say, you know what, you've got somebody on your side who's trying to get that money back, who's declaring those contracts null and void, and where they are, bogus contracts, trying to get that money back? And unfortunately, you're sitting here in front of us and you don't have an answer for me. You can't say, yes, I'm very concerned about those and we are working on this and this and this. You just say, well, I'm waiting for reports. So it sounds like you're a lame duck. You're just sitting around waiting for input. You're a completely reactive leader. Is that what you're telling us you are?
I am not a reactive leader. But I need to indicate, Honourable Member, that 6 months is short for all the things that need to happen in the department. I'm doing my best. I'm doing my best, my very best. So when I do not get reports, or if I haven't got reports, when I get them, I do go through them. I analyze them, I talk to the reporters and all that. Now when you talk about recovering irregular expenditure, it depends on what you read from the report. Because if services were rendered, irrespective of how that service was procured, if services are rendered, then it is very difficult for you to go and recover that money. But as I said, once I get the reports of 2016-17, all of them completed, and all of them having all the basis on which I can take action, I'll definitely take action.
Why is it that I've got this information? Why have I got this information and you don't? I just don't understand that how that works. I have information that you don't have, and that information is being submitted to you. The information I'm talking about is not in the stuff you sent us. You understand that? All right, see, I'd like to move on. A matter that's happening right now, and I want to know if you can give us any form of assurance that something's going to happen about this, other than the SIU work. The SAP contract. for 500 million that was procured without the necessary tender processes. Give us some idea of what happened there. With that SAP contract, the allegation is 35 million rand in kickbacks. Can you give us any idea what happened there? And also, I think that it didn't go through CETA.
Chair, I don't have the details myself, but I can indicate to you that there's a person that is investigating that matter for me at the moment as we speak. Because when we got it from SEP, we said what it is that is internally, what it is that we can do, because if it has these issues that are raised in the media and by SIU, then perhaps in the department we need to get to a process where we can maybe terminate that contract. So that investigation is still on. And Mr. Duncan, you are doing it, isn't it? Yes, Duncan is doing it. So if you need preliminary whatever, sir, maybe he can provide that.
Okay, Chair, let's get some info there, if that's okay, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Member. I'm Thulani Duncan Ntulu, the Acting Chief Director of Risk Management. We are busy with this investigation on the SARS system, unlimited licenses. The investigation is partly completed in the sense that we have analyzed all the documentation. We are only waiting for interviews of stakeholders who have been identified. What happened here was we did not go through the CETA in terms of the CETA Act and in terms of practice note. The second part is we have an ITC committee that provides guidance or assist the department into whether can we get into such type of procurement of IT services of goods. They make a recommendation. The recommendation was disregarded by the user. And the ITC requested some information on this particular tender, but as I indicated, they were disregarded. In fact, for me, I would say it was management or overall of controls, because I reasonably believe that it was deliberately and intentionally from management to disregard the ITC, especially from the user who is not even an IT person, just to disregard that type of advice. And as such, Chair, probably by next week, Monday, I will have completed the investigation, depending on the availability of two people that I've identified internally. However, the chairperson of DBAG is no more with the department, he's a former CFO, but I'm not going to engage in interviewing him. That's how.
That former chair of DBAG, is that Mohabi?
The former chairperson of DBAG was Mpho Mofokeng.
Oh, sorry, okay. Do you think SAP were involved in this?
SAP?
SAP, the supplier. We're not talking about SAP, SA. SAP, the IT supplier. Do you think they were involved in this matter? Because there are allegations of kickbacks.
I wouldn't like to commit myself because I'm directed by practice note 3 of 2016-17. At the end of the day, one of my recommendations is for the matter to be reported to the police. However, SIU is busy with an investigation. Then it means whatever I will have gathered, I will also share to with SIU.
Would you also be able to comment on the EOH matter from 2016? Water entity.
I can't comment
on that. Or
yes, it's also part and parcel of my investigation. I have not yet started analyzing and reviewing the documentation.
Okay, we see here again. Have the problem. This happened on the 31st of March, 2016. Are we still involved in that investigation? It was 62 million rand. It didn't go through CETA. Sorry. What's happening? 2 years later, is this how you guys run things? No wonder after 2.8 billion rand in the War of Leagues you've achieved nothing. But can you give us an answer on that? I mean, gee, there's so many things here on this list. I don't want to go through every one. We'll be here the whole night. But I'm trying to pick off a couple of things. But on the EOH matter, in 2016, it was 62 million rand. It was supposed to support and maintain SAP ECC, and it wasn't procured through CETA. Do you have any knowledge of it? And for those of you who don't have sight of the spreadsheet we're given, the headings at the top of the spreadsheet say right at the end, case investigated, concluded. To give you an idea, it concluded, and you put an X there if it's concluded, not concluded. And if you scan through these schedules, I can tell you now all the blocks, except one I've seen so far on the water entity, are all not concluded. And they're all from 2016 onwards. I mean, you notice I'm just looking at the last 2 years here. We could go further back. So what's happening with that EOH matter?
Remember, the response on that will probably be the same as the other ones, because what is on the list and has not been investigated as yet, unfortunately, I cannot report on that.
You know, okay, gee, it's just... I could go, you know, in my notes here, I thought, okay, I wanted general themes. One of them was the non-corporate awards and Vawani and the regular expenditures. So we can go through the regular expenditure schedules, and I can pick out the ones that are really big, just the ones over a million rand. But you can have the same answer for us all the time, aren't you? But just to give you an idea, we've got... It's all 2016 to 2017 to 2018, and nothing's been concluded. Are you going to stick with your version that you just don't have the capacity to investigate? Is that your problem?
Honourable Member, I've indicated that I took effort to get extra hands. And I've said that we have recently extended the term contract so that we can see from the budget that we have as to how much we can do, how many cases we can push. So given the report that now we have even beyond 16-17 cases that we are to do, it means that we'll have to start with those cases. But unfortunately, all I can say is that I am not folding my hands, I'm not sitting back, I am doing something about the situation. On these cases and all other things in the department that are not going okay at the moment as we speak. There's a lot that's not going okay, and I'm trying my best, as I've indicated.
Yeah, I think let's not personalize it too much. And as much as it is you who must respond, we're talking about a department that has existed before you became DG. And the failures we're talking about are the failures of the system and the department from years gone back. All that which has not been investigated for all these years is an indictment on the department, and it must be held to account for that. So it doesn't start 6 months ago when you came in.
Chair, look, I understand that anybody sitting here and receiving thorough, you know, questioning from a scoper would be upset with a questioner. I get that. I understand that. And that's what I live with. But the point is you are the accounting officer. And you have to live with that. You're the accounting officer. That's just the way it is. And with the new amendments to the Audit Act, you could become liable as well. It's a tough position to be in. So if we can just chair,
can I just check with Comrade Boy?
was going to caution you, Chair, that there's only one accounting of your son, is that lady. She must answer questions, and you're being evasive. It's like saying no to Parliament and undermining Parliament. Don't assist and this is the system. The other night we sat here until late, and everybody answering. It can't be like that all the time. If you don't know the department, you must just keep quiet then. Then we know that you can never hear it. Then you have to ask everybody to come with reports. If she has not read the report in shown by that lady, she rather keep quiet than that lady answer then. She doesn't know her job. So please, Chairperson, can allow her to ask to answer questions. We don't want to hear from other people. We want to hear from her. All right. And that's what the PFMA says. She's the accounting officer, Chair. His report in these envelopes, she provided them. Why does she know what is going on? Why would she come to Parliament and come and mislead us here? She's earning double the salary of an ordinary fellow in the streets. And she's an acting DG, Chair. If you wanted everybody to, we must ask the whole department to come down. And everybody answers them. Please, Chair, just stick. Can you get answers from this acting DG? Even if the question goes to 2012 or what, she must answer. She's taken the responsibility. I can't be doing about how she knows the department. She's been saying, she's been telling us that she's been long in the department. What has she been doing?
All right. Yes, comrade.
Okay. Chair, can we... I'll wind up just now, but okay, let's just look at reckless and wasteful expenditure. It is annexure on the main account 421. That's annexure 421. And the big chunky, you know, there are lots of little bits and pieces. You'll see a couple of hundred here and a couple of thousand there. But the big chunky one is Varanani Properties, which is line 8 on page 1. It's 11 million rand, and it's just on overdue interest. So two questions. What is the original debt? Number one. That generates overdue interest of 11 million rand. That must be a massive debt. And then what is the... Why did that happen? That is fruitless and wasteful expenditure. And I see here, you know, based on the audit finding, the matter will be investigated. Great. Appropriate action will be taken based on the outcome of the investigation. So that's really broad. And it's from September last year. Can you give us some guidance, Acting DG? Microphone, please. Microphone, thanks.
On the Varanani matter, the fruitless and wasteful expenditure of that 11 million was from a court order where the department was charged for not having paid the full amount. So the amount that I'm having here is the amount that has been that was outstanding is 30 million. That's the amount I'm having here. I hope I'm looking at the same.
Is that 30?
Yes, that's the amount I'm having here.
So how do you get 11? Are you paying 30% interest? Is my maths wrong? How are you getting 11 million? Because it specifically says interest charged on overdue accounts. So let's just start with that. Where did the 30 million come from? What court order was that? There was obviously a judgment against the department.
Honourable Member, It reads here that the 30 million was outstanding from human settlement. I hope I'm reading from the correct page. It's from human settlement. What I'm reading here is that it was from human settlement. That is when sanitation was moving from the department to our department. Now, the 11 million, high as it is, and alarming as it is, honorable member, it looks like it is because of the period it took. Because it says here 2013 to 2017. So that would have been. But the...
But if you... I just wanted to check on the irregular expenditure. If you go to the irregular expenditure, annexure A, 3, infrastructure irregular expenditure, that Varanani between April 2017 and March 2018 was paid 524 million rands. And that is the company that has gone to court. To get an order for 11 million just in 1 year, half a billion, and that appointment is irregular. This appointment of half a billion is irregular, and it was done from head office sanitation. It's page 5 of that spreadsheet. In the main account. This one is summary of regular expenditure, number two is regular expenditure for goods and services, and then the third one is infrastructure irregular expenditure. 524 million paid between last year and early this year, and that's the company that has taken the department to court and was awarded that 11 million.
Yes, Chair, I mean, absolutely. This is one of the ones that I'd highlighted to go into, but I don't want to belabor the entire evening because the acting DG is just going to say, well, I'm still investigating, you know. But the point is, do you know, you know, fruitless and wasteful expenditure is expenditure that could have been avoided. So who didn't pay the bill? Who dropped that ball to not pay a bill and attract a charge of 11 million rand on interest? Can you help us with that, Acting DG?
Honourable Member, before I get there, let me correct a mistake. The order, the court order, was 315 million. That resulted in the 11 point something million interest. That's what is on the court.
Okay, that makes a lot more interesting sense. Thank you. The 300, where did that come from? Do you know? It's got nothing to do with the... These guys are an implementation agent, is that right?
No.
And they're doing bucket eradication.
Sorry. Honourable Member, they are not implementing agents. Implementing agents normally are state institutions.
No, what are they?
So these ones...
I'm saying don't say they are not an implementing agent. Tell us what they are. That's more positive and it assists him to understand better.
They are what we call professional service providers. They are contractors.
What do they do? What's worth 500 million, 300 million?
Honourable Member, they were contracted for bucket eradication.
They are there for bucket eradication. So they obviously did work for the department for 300 odd million. There was obviously a dispute. They won a court matter. Was it out of spite or maliciousness that we just didn't pay them the 300 million, which then got us another 11 million rand interest? Who was responsible for not paying that? You know, I like to give examples. If all of us have vehicle licenses, okay? And if I don't pay my vehicle license on time and I go 3, 4, 5, 6 months later, I pay a penalty because I was slack. Somebody's responsible, and it's me. And I pay extra money because I didn't go on time. We all know this. So what we want to know as this committee is, who is responsible for dropping the ball to the tune of 11 million rand? Can you give us any idea of that? Do you, must you phone a friend? I don't know. Do you, can you give us any idea? It really is quite tiresome.
Honourable Member, although I'm expected to be answering all these questions, unfortunately I cannot. Allow me to give over. There's a DDG who signed the submission, and there's a Chief Director responsible for
it. Sorry, that's unacceptable. We called you here. I don't know what you feel your job is, and I thank Honourable Boy for his support on this. But you are the accounting officer. We called you here. The chair directed letters to you telling you exactly what we wanted, and now I am working from your list. I would have expected you to know this list backwards, to have sat with the officials over the weekend and said, okay, tell me about point 7 on page whatever, Free State Rand Water, 10.1 million, what is that about? So when that brother set starts nailing me on Monday, I'll have the answer. But you haven't taken this seriously. But what you forget, Honourable, is that we take it seriously. We go through this. We comb through this with a fine-tooth comb, and we have questions, and we expect the answers from you. And the answer we don't expect is, it's being investigated and I don't have capacity. Because you know what? That doesn't help our people out there who are sitting with sewage running through their jandolas. It doesn't help them. You sitting here saying, oh, I'm sorry, I don't know, I don't have enough people to help me investigate. So let's try again. Who's responsible for the 11 million?
Chair.
Point of order. Yeah.
You see that lady at the back of this lady? She keeps on writing and running up and down. Is that her job? Is she employed to do that? Because I'm looking at her most of the time. The DG is ill-prepared, and she's the one prepared. Maybe she's the DG, she's not. But she keeps on feeding her papers there, and she keeps on delaying. We leave here at 2 o'clock just to try to get the answers from the DG, acting DG. Or that lady, if she is the DG, can be given the authority to just go ahead through all these questions, because it seems that she runs the department, which is the reputation of the DG. The DG doesn't run the department. I'm going to come to that point. She doesn't run the department. She doesn't know what she's doing. If she wants us to tell her, we'll tell her today. Please, I'm asking you to ask that lady to sit in her place, and this one must answer.
All right. I think, well, maybe let's just re-emphasize the point which we made in passing last week, Comrade Minister. We said our expectation was that once this information was submitted to us, the team would meet and discuss these submissions so that those who have information can feed to the acting DG and not here in the meeting. I mean, we've had hearings where a minister would respond like an official in terms of the level of detail that he has. Not because he's in the department, but because when they sit and plan, he's also there and they have shared the information. So I think what we're calling for and what comrades are calling for is that people should have sat down and discussed this information so that all those details are at the fingertips of the person who must respond. I think that is the logic.
Okay, so 11 million. We've been busy with this for 10 minutes now. Can your friend who passes you notes tell you who's responsible? Who dropped the ball? Who didn't pay the license fee on time?
I don't know whether to respond to this.
Microphone, please.
Attention.
Microphone. Yes.
I don't know whether to respond to this assertion that says that I didn't prepare, I don't take the committee serious, I don't know what I'm doing, because I find it a bit...
Order. Chair, I think the minister is here, he must be able to help us. The DG cannot say she's not going to speak to the assertion that she doesn't know what she's doing when she doesn't know what she's doing. She doesn't know what she's doing. She waits for answers everywhere else. We've got a file for almost 2 weeks now. She's got the program, what we're going to do today. She doesn't answer to anything. Perhaps I must give that one. Maybe that one's going to help me, that one, that one. She's out of order. If she's not ready to deliver, she must just tell the minister that she's not ready to deliver. It's very unfortunate. Even if you take this job for one day, once you say you are available to be a DG, then it means it comes with a pack. That's what it is. It's out of order for you to come here and tell us that you are not going to talk to assertions. We're not making assertions here. We're not playing. We want you to answer questions.
All right. If I may help, I don't want the acting DG to reply to assertions. I don't want you to do that at all. I want you to answer my question about 11.5 million rand. It's really that simple. And I want to assure you, DG, you see now, this is a united front. This is not a multi-party democracy. This is a unitary state party here. This is a united front. That's our scope of works. So you can't pick us off. We're all together, and you must answer questions. I don't mind what you think about me, or Comrade Boy, or Comrade Mente. I want you to answer who's responsible for 11.5 million rand dropping of the ball. Can you answer that or not? If you can't answer, just say, I don't know. But let's move on. Am I going to get an answer? Do you know who is responsible?
Yes, acting DG. Do you know who is responsible? Because ultimately there is an individual or individuals who by commission or omission caused the department to incur this fruitless and wasteful expenditure.
Chairperson, you know, sometimes it's very difficult to mention names of people when the problem is in the system, it's systemic. In this instance, the information I was given was that the project ran out of money, there was no money in the department, and that is why they could not be paid. So now to say who dropped the ball, I am not sure as to
He is right to ask it like that. It's for you to clarify that it was it's a problem of the system. The department just did not have money. Then that clarifies the matter.
CJ, Well, first of all, that's an answer. Whether it's the right answer, I don't know, because I can't test it. Okay? I simply cannot test it. Now, see, I've got a situation. I've got one. I was going to go through those general themes and then start going through all the really big amounts in the regular expenditure. But I don't know if we're going to be wasting our time. Because all of the, you see there in your schedule, all of the X's are on the right-hand side, which say not concluded. So, let me go to one other question quickly. And this is a question that's been sent to the minister. Maybe he can help. But there's a question about a vehicle that was purchased for the minister shortly before she left the ministry. Do you know what's happened to that vehicle?
I signed papers that transferred the vehicle from the department to the Department of Communication with the new minister.
You mean Department of Environmental Affairs?
No, at that time,
Communication. Okay, I'm sure that was correctly obtained, the vehicle. Chair, I don't know what you want me to do. I've marked out all the ones I wanted to discuss with the assistant DG on all these irregular expenditures, but I really don't want to waste my comrade's time sitting here until 10 o'clock at night hearing the same story again and again and again. I mean, the biggest one is on the main account, but I don't know if you want to go there. It's the 800 million from Giani, you know. But that is one of the biggest items of irregular expenditure. But I'm going to ask this question. This acting DG is going to say, Angaz, happened before my time. I don't know anything, and I'm waiting for the investigation. So, Honourable Boy, are we wasting our time here?
No, I think let's do this.
It's up to you, Jim.
Yeah, no, that's fine. Let me check with comrades if they have follow-ups on the irregular and fruitless expenditure. And then at some point, I'll come back to you. Maybe you'll have sifted through a few things, and then you can make other follow-ups.
Gee, can I just say one thing before I pass to my colleagues and very quick? Gee, I've got to tell you now, and I don't know if my colleagues share my, I think they do, but this is a very, very sorry state of affairs. We've got an acting DG here. I mean, sitting in this room, we have an official who is guilty of being involved in a 95 million rand scam.
Accused.
Investigation showed to the contrary, but anyway. Okay, accused. They were dismissed by an incompetence and person of not great knowledge of process, and then reinstated. And this is the person who's going to preside over winding up all these investigations to the satisfaction of the South African taxpayer. I'm really, really worried. And it just seems that the department's going to just carry on going down. This is the same department who couldn't tell us last week whether we're winning the war on leaks. Minister, I'm so glad you're here, sir. I really am. And I'm sure you're taking note. Thank you.
Kuno, what were you suggesting?
Yeah, I had a different suggestion, Chairperson. That to tell my colleague here that we came here prepared, so he can go ahead with the questions that he has prepared. Time will deal with time later, but we came here prepared to deal with questions. Let him carry on, and we promise we'll go and have coffee when we feel tired or sleepy. So I'm just saying, Bratenseg, please carry on. Pratim, carry on.
No, it's fine. I was not stopping him completely, like I said. At some point, because I want to check with you, I also want Comrade Boy to come in, so that when we all, we know at least the key people have done their part, and then we can still go on. And I'll still give him the opportunity. Please. Okay. All right. Yeah.
Chairperson, when we were dealing with police and CETA and the corruption there, we found out that the accused or the criminal behind, he was actually sitting in our meeting, intimidating police as they were talking and CETA people. But we were also told that they had letters, they had threats, serious threats on them. And Chairperson, yes, we have our justice system with all their flaws in this country, but we also have their positiveness, or when they are dealing with cases. Maybe we're all looking at the outcome, so it doesn't matter. It depends on which outcome were you looking at. And I really have a problem, Chairperson. I know that Ms. Makatini was investigated by SIU and other DDGs for 95 million rands, le a school. And for whatever reason, she was reinstated. I find it very difficult. Even last week, I wanted to talk about it, but I just said, let me just hold it. Because you might not know what happens when we leave this meeting, when officials are on their own. I'm not saying I'm in favor of the acting DG or anyone who has answered here, but I find it very difficult, Chairperson, for a person who's been accused to actually come and sit here with us and give us information. And, you know, last week I was also disturbed to actually say she understands this matter better than other people because she was dealing with everything there. So I'm not sure if what you are going to say about it, Chairperson, but I really want us to discuss that. Because it's difficult to get answers from the officials of the department. You might not know if they are being intimidated before they come to this meeting or what. Why are they not answering questions? Because the main thing is that they are here on a contract, a public service contract. So they're not here on their own. The monies that have been spent, there will be other investigations where you will pay for from your own pockets. So never mind this thing of defending and protecting each other because you are all eating that cake. You know, you are all getting the slice of the cake. But Chairperson, I want us to discuss that. Her being here, the reinstatement and her being, with all the responsibilities, it's something else. It's the court procedures. But her being here in this meeting, I think it's a problem. Can we discuss that, please, Chairperson? I will vote in.
All right. It looks like we must go and exercise our right to vote. We shall be back